video podcasting.
It's not too late is what you're saying?
It's definitely not too late. In fact, on YouTube, I would say it's early because of a few things that are happening. This is a time to really move because this is, it might feel like you're late to the game. The game is just getting started. It just kind of, the game just switched up.
Hey there, welcome to this edition of Build Your Tribe. I'm super excited to have you here today because we're going to talk about podcasting and YouTube and why it is such an important time for you to consider if you want to get more views, more listens, more people to find your podcast, and you've been thinking about starting a YouTube channel, just really expanding your impact. I've got the perfect guest for you. Today, my guest is Sean Cannell. He is the founder and CEO of Think Media. He's helped thousands and thousands of people not only start their own YouTube channel, but figure out how to grow their business and grow their impact by using YouTube. He is a best-selling author of YouTube Secrets. He's also one of like my favorite people on the planet. He's so funny and so real, and he really makes this stuff simple and doable. And so without further ado, Sean Cannell. Hey.
Hey.
So I have to admit that part of the reason why I want to talk about this is because for personal reasons, my goal is to grow the podcast, both of them, right? And everyone has a podcast now. Gwyneth Paltrow, Oprah Winfrey, Prince Harry. Like, everyone's got a podcast. Your mom has a podcast. Everyone's got a podcast. So we're looking at the kind of the same thing that's happening in social media where there's a huge supply and not as much of a demand. I've got to stand out. Tell me how YouTube can help me do that.
Yeah, this is one of the most exciting times to be thinking about video podcasting, which would be, people go, what's a video podcast? It's like, well, haven't you seen that there's a lot of podcasts on YouTube? And maybe this community maybe has heard of Logan Paul. He has Impulsive, the podcast. H3H3 are some YouTuber podcasts. Lewis Howes, The School of Greatness.
Yeah, that's a great example.
It's a big video podcast. And of course, you can have a huge majority, maybe the minority or the majority, listening on audio. But when you do video, it taps into this whole other platform of being able to be discovered on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But a lot of news just dropped. Like, there's a lot of teeth that we got to talk about.
So it's not too late is what you're saying?
It's definitely not too late. In fact, on YouTube, I would say it's early because of a few things that are happening.
At YouTube?
Yes, YouTube specifically. So last year, they hired a dedicated podcast, somebody from another company to lead up podcasts. They invested $500,000 in shows. They secured NPR to launch a bunch of shows and turn them into video versions onto YouTube.
And they weren't video versions before?
Correct. And
wow.
They launched youtube.com/podcasts, plural. That's a URL listeners could go to just to see that there's now kind of a page like the Apple Podcasts homepage with banners on it of shows that are being highlighted and different curated clusters of types of shows around different subject matter.
So in other words, if I'm on YouTube and I go to /podcasts, I'm going to see a kind of a different homepage.
Yes.
Where normally my YouTube algorithm is just like feeding me like, oh, you one time watched a video of this and we think you might watch this. Now it's going to show me different things. It's like, these are things you're going to want to listen to, but they're also video.
Yep. And if you go there, you'd see maybe Dave Ramsey talking about personal finance, and you may see even shows like Phil DeFranco, which is a news show. That's kind of a guy that tries to kind of play neutral on both sides. Uh-huh. And you're like, okay, yeah, that is a podcast. You could consume that audio-wise. It's a video. Uh-huh. It's been kind of more of a YouTuber. So a lot of that is all happening. But a lot of new news just dropped, which is the actual functionality of podcasts on YouTube. And what it is that you actually can upload a podcast, optimize it with a square image.
So like even just show art.
Show art.
Okay.
And you can also attribute, you can set a playlist, a YouTube playlist as a podcast. And when you optimize content properly on YouTube to be a podcast, there's now three new discoverability options. And we don't know how good these are going to be, but this would be that new opportunity that's just happening right now.
Okay.
There's going to be a badge that says that this is a podcast.
Okay.
There's going to be a couple distribution channels that are like new traffic sources in the YouTube world of search and discoverability for people that show an interest in podcasts and maybe want to check others out.
Wow.
But not a lot of people are very fast moving when it comes to optimizing their content properly to tap into these features. But here's where it gets really interesting. When you do so, coming down the road very soon is your video podcasts being distributed as audio on YouTube Music.
Oh, wow.
And the platform wars are YouTube Music versus Spotify versus right. Apple iTunes, because you have music, you have podcasts. So these are all these different ecosystems where YouTube's trying to take the whole pie.
Yeah.
They're trying to have the video side. YouTube Music, if you're a YouTube premium user, some people might be a Spotify premium user,
yeah.
an iTunes premium music or whatever, Apple Music. And so you pay 10 bucks a month, 12 bucks a month. You now have ad-free YouTube videos, but you have all your music on YouTube Music, just like Spotify, and podcasts now. But what are we talking? Let's talk about monetization. YouTube.
But wait a second. I want to back you up for just a second. You said the ad-free. So are the podcasts going to be ad-free?
They could be, but also you could go to YouTube Music with ads on, just like okay. you could go to Spotify with ads on.
Okay.
And so besides your own ads or sponsored things that you're integrating,
yeah.
what happens when YouTube and Google's incredibly yeah. robust selling to advertisers starts to put ads wow. on in those podcasts that also could be dynamic, yeah. midstream, just like these other platforms do. So one thing is for sure, these huge brands, Meta, Google, who owns YouTube, Spotify, they're not like playing kind. They're not like, oh, let's be nice. Like they're trying to take market share. Mm-hmm. And so YouTube, the platform itself, should not be ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore the opportunity is to really lean into this.
Is there an ideal length for a podcast to do well on YouTube?
One thing that is fascinating is extra long form content
yeah.
performs very well on YouTube if you can build up an audience and it's compelling. I mean,
now let me stop you and ask this question because I've got my own theory, right?
Yeah.
It performs well. And if you look at podcasts in general, and I've done an analysis myself, like crunching the data and looking at the top shows in every category, the top shows in almost every category are long. They're like 45 minutes, an hour plus. I mean, look at the Joe Rogan Experience before
right.
he moved. But I mean, even in health, in comedy, it doesn't matter the category. The longer podcasts are the ones that are in the top. However, Apple, to use them as an example, when they share data with users and creators, they really emphasize consumption. You know, to look at how much of a particular podcast is the average user consuming. And a longer podcast, you're going to have shorter consumption. But it doesn't make sense when you look at ranking, because the shows that are ranking the highest are these really long shows where no one's consuming all that, likely. Very few are consuming that all in one sitting.
Yep.
So I have to think, like, you just look at common sense. Any platform, whether it's Apple or YouTube or Instagram, they want you there longer.
Yes.
So I would think that longer content is performing better everywhere.
Well, 100%. And it's total minutes, not percentage viewed. So YouTube does show you average percentage viewed. So completion is great, but completion of a YouTube short is 60 seconds. 10% of a 2-hour podcast is 20 minutes.
Amen.
So it is total time on platform.
Yeah.
That is absolutely what winning looks like. And so, yeah, there's something, I do think that for, you know, different is better than better. If somebody is making something extra long and you do create a show that's like all the news you want in 10 minutes or less.
Yeah.
That has a value proposition to it.
For sure.
And we've also found that a lot of times when we have longer form episodes, we cut them into maybe two parts, and it gives us also two at bats
right.
in terms of uploads to YouTube and even on audio, and someone could listen to both and I've seen you do that as well. Sometimes yeah. It was one long conversation. So I think that people look for a magic number, but
That's true.
I will say this. There's two creators, Lewis Howes and Evan Carmichael, are heavy on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Their most viewed videos are over 2 hours.
Wow.
If you go to like their top eight, there's like, for Lewis, it's like one is under 2 hours. A lot of these two are also compilations of him repurposing his past podcast into clusters based on topic.
Right.
So he'll take 7 guests that talked about money and
yeah.
then build a super show.
That's amazing.
We call these content marathons. And what's wild is they're crazy lucrative on YouTube. We can make tens of thousands of dollars from one upload by uploading super long content. The key is that it's in a niche that people might find fascinating.
Right.
But you also, we just click the box that says YouTube can add multiple ad spots. So you don't just have multiple ad spots, but also if you're doing education, health, personal finance, professional topics that maybe attract a demo that is into something a little more professional, educational, those industries pay insane. And I usually don't point people towards YouTube ad revenue, but people are making insane money with long form valuable content on YouTube.
That's amazing. So that person who already has a podcast, so I'm going to ask you two different questions. Person already has a podcast and they already have a YouTube channel. Their YouTube channel, they haven't been putting their podcast on there. Should they start a separate channel for their podcast or can they incorporate it into their existing?
The one question that matters is it what the viewer's expectation is?
Okay.
Is it the promise you've already made to the viewer?
What if I only have 200 subscribers?
And then it actually doesn't even matter. You can do whatever you want. But if you had some momentum and the viewer's expectation was you're giving me 5-minute cooking tutorials.
Yeah.
And now you're talking to authors of cookbooks and it's not really cooking tutorials and it's getting even fringier away from that.
Mm-hmm.
You're just shifting maybe too far off brand. You could still experiment with it, but if you have made a promise to the viewer, there's no reason why on one YouTube channel that you shouldn't deliver that promise as a 60-second short, as a 6-minute YouTube video, and as a 60-minute of deeper, rich content. People can pick and choose which format they want to listen to. The key is that you're staying on promise and on brand. Now, for us, we have our Think Media channel, which it's the best tips and tools for building your influence with video. Tools being software and cameras. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the tech channel. That's where we just had a recent vision meeting where I'm like, that's what we need to stay on brand with. People come to us. What's the best camera for YouTube?
Yeah.
We launched a separate channel called Think Media Podcast. Podcast in the name, also to kind of set expectations.
Oh, like, that was smart.
These are conversations.
Yeah.
But also this is going to go
heavier. And that's a separate channel.
Separate channel. Yeah. It's going to go heavier strategy. And we have other reasons to do it as well, was to start fresh from an audience that just wants to subscribe for that and not necessarily one-off video editing tutorial.
Let me ask you some questions about production, because I know the person who's listening right now, one of the struggles for any entrepreneur is, I have to do more. Now I have to do more. Like podcasting, myself included, is so easy because I don't have to be in hair and makeup. I don't have to set up lights or anything special. There's no special editing. I mean, I don't have to edit a video. I just upload the audio and my podcast editor produces it, right? So now let's speak to that person who's like, this is a whole nother level. Do I have to do video? Do I have to have on guests? Do I have to change my format? What am I looking at from just the very basics?
So if you do this at a basic level, one of my favorite examples is my friend Kerry Newhoff. He has a pretty sizable leadership podcast. And he had me on his show and we jumped on Zoom. And he said, yeah. So he goes, Sean, welcome to the show. I love having my guests on Zoom because I just want to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an audio only podcast. And he goes, we started to talk about YouTube. We started to talk about video and we started to talk about video podcasting. And I said, wait a minute, Kerry, you're saying that you have the recordings of every single one of the guests. And his show was actually interview-based. I wouldn't even say it's heavily interview-based. It's entirely interview-based. So it always has a guest, or 99% of the time. So he goes, yeah, on my computer or in the Zoom cloud, I have every single conversation I've had with my guests.
Same.
On Zoom.
Yeah.
And with camera on, you know? And I go, Kerry, it is irresponsible of you to have not at least uploaded these, even if you just called it like, you know, MarcusBuckingham.mp4. Like, I mean, if you didn't even change the title, at least you could have got 7 views you wouldn't have gotten.
That's a great point.
And so on a basic level,
such a good story.
People are already doing Zoom calls, Zoom meetings with their team, et cetera. I totally respect the hair, makeup, lighting, and those types of details. But if you thought about what is the minimum? I remember you, this funny memory I have of you as I've collabed and worked with your team at certain times. And I remember you were talking to your team where you're like, guys, you could at least like put your hair up and like put on like a shirt and a jean jacket and maybe a hat. And like, it doesn't take long. Like 7 minutes could get you like pretty
far.
That was something you were saying, right?
Probably.
And
we were pretty relaxed. That's for sure.
And so you're like, step it up a little bit. And so what is the minimum you could do to just get on camera? This gives you a whole nother, the reason why, it's a whole nother traffic source. There's search-based functionality. Yeah. There's all this news about podcasts now. Yeah. And you can spice it up a little bit. What I would say is technology does not have to be a hurdle. 99% of people listening to this are already have a webcam and a USB mic, mm-hmm. or get that. Mm-hmm. Get a light, connect it to your desk, webcam, USB mic, and you could use Zoom, but Riverside, StreamYard. Mm-hmm. I do solo rounds, so I will put in the monitor in front of me a Google Doc with the subject matter, the points I want to hit. I will talk to the lens. I'll look at the lens of my mm-hmm. webcam. Mm-hmm. I have a little bit of a fancier camera. And I could do solo rounds, and I do what's called like local record on StreamYard.
Yeah.
And that goes to the cloud, and an editor can make that, spice that up a little bit.
Yeah.
Even if you just upload it as is, like, hey, welcome to the podcast, and then trim like the ends, or don't even trim the ends. Turn it on, turn it off, upload it, and then use that same thing for audio.
Do you like Riverside better than, or Riverside StreamYard Squadcast?
I like StreamYard the best because it also is a really easy to multi-stream to Facebook and YouTube at the same time,
yeah.
and record your podcast. We do internal stuff. We'll go into our private Facebook group. It's kind of just the one-stop shop, and it's so easy to use. Put up banners, make the show, kind of almost do like, we use it for webinars, web classes.
I think I know your answer to this next question, but I'll ask it anyways. So it at least putting an audio only with just a square image, that's my show art. I mean, if that's like the very bottom basics, that's better than nothing.
It beats,
in terms of discoverable,
it beats a poke in the eye.
Yeah,
it beats a kick in the pants.
What about someone who's like, I picked podcasting because I have a face for podcasts and I'm not interested in ever going on camera. Could they use stock footage or other imagery?
I mean,
are not needed.
I think that, again, if you did just do show art, I wouldn't do stock. I don't think you need to do anything else. Mm. There is the whole VTuber thing. It's pretty niche, but that'd be a virtual avatar
that
tracks to your face and whatnot. Shoot. So you actually are showing up, your eyes, your face expressions.
She's a robot.
People change. Like, I don't know. I think that I look around the world at our students and people in the community and people I've collaborated with. There's people of all shapes, sizes, ages, ethnicities, backgrounds. And, you know, they would maybe say they don't have a face for video, that are just crushing it.
Yeah.
I think that confidence is much more of an inner game.
Yeah.
And if you're bringing value and what's interesting is, again, by just going on Zoom and having a Zoom conversation and then DJing that out onto YouTube and then stripping the audio, what can happen is, for Kerry Newhoff, for example, for a year or two, his YouTube didn't do great, but it grew to 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 subscribers because he had some good guests. And so, I mean, it depends on your vision. Are you doing solo rounds? Are you having guests?
Yeah.
You know, is it based off of authors coming on when they launch their
books?
So
do you know much about the way people consume podcast content? Like, I find myself personally, a few podcasts I listen to on YouTube, I will glance at the camera a little bit. I mean, I should say the screen, right?
Yeah.
I glance at the screen a little bit, but I don't need to watch it. I can just play it.
100%.
So with Instagram, we know statistically people watch it on mute. And it's got to be really captivating, and they feel like they're missing something where they unmute it to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they're just reading captions. What do we know about YouTube?
Well, you know, I'll turn on a video podcast on my smart TV while we're cooking dinner.
Okay.
So it is kind of that, it's like you might turn on the news while you're going through your evening routine.
It's a great example.
And then I will turn it on my phone. Now, this is something they also mentioned as they were rolling out the podcast features. You have to pay for YouTube Premium to be able to listen to YouTube with your screen locked.
Oh.
And so
I see what they're doing.
They
Clever.
Might change that. Once they really lean heavier into the podcast, because you can lock your screen on Spotify, you're just going to get served ads.
Yeah.
But so
I'm not served ads on Spotify if, because I have Spotify Premium.
Actually, wait, that's because you have Spotify Premium.
Yeah. Okay.
So on YouTube, you would also just be served ads, but your screen would be locked. So that was maybe a feature initially to get more people to do premium. They may change it. Punchline is I'm a YouTube Premium user. So YouTube is my number one source of listening to podcasts. even if they're also on audio. Here's another fact. YouTube is already, as we speak, the largest podcast platform. It's already bigger than Spotify.
Crazy.
By consumption.
Yeah. And I mean, I recently did some research, and that's the reason why I was like, wait, we've got to change everything, because that's where people are discovering podcasts now, is on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're discovering. And so that leads me to my next question. Don't forget what you were about to say, but is my goal to get discovered on YouTube and drive people to Apple, Spotify, or is my goal to keep them on YouTube?
It is to keep them on YouTube. I think you want to respect each platform.
Okay.
Moving people from platforms and social media in general is kind of a bad goal. It's rare. It's not a bad thing to educate. Like on Instagram, I would educate and let people know there's maybe a new podcast you want to listen to or a YouTube video. And I could track this by my story swipe ups, for example. It's typically a pretty small percentage compared to the people who view the stories as people who click on the link. But letting them know that something of value exists somewhere else is not a bad thing to do. But
you don't cannibalize your audience? Like if and
also Instagram is not competing with my podcast because it's two different formats. And by the way, if you're on audio, make sure to go to the YouTube video.
Okay, that's my question.
There has been times when I've been aware to say, hey, I would love your feedback. And other than leaving a review, the only way for you to give me your feedback is if you go to the YouTube version and leave us a comment.
Okay.
And I've done that maybe twice in 200 episodes.
Oh.
So, but that being said, this is interesting because speaking of cannibalizing your audience, when you're a podcaster, you're on this chase of downloads. How can I get, we just hit 1 million downloads or whatever. The funny thing is we started with a video podcast, as we should, me mm-hmm. being a video
of
guy
course.
Or whatever. And also seeing kind of into the future that this was where things were going. Our podcast is only 2 years old or 2.5 years old. And so Joe Rogan or whatever, this has been happening, you know, all that to say is I think you have to be comfortable that like our downloads have suffered because probably half or more of our community listens on YouTube. So I think respecting the viewer, we're living in a world, this might feel overwhelming, but buckle your seatbelt, that you should commit to distributing your content properly to where people want to consume it and be okay. Like we use Buzzsprout. You might have other tools to just upload the one audio file and then hit Audible, Spotify,
right?
Google.
Use Libsyn.
And so Libsyn does the same thing. So, I mean, again, who's listening to podcasts on Audible? It gives you the percentages like Spotify and Apple are the biggest, right? And then there's other ones. They start getting pretty fractional. But nevertheless, we're using those services to go to all the places. If somebody wants to be on YouTube, giving them that opportunity. And that might be one big mistake that I'm certain probably everybody listening to this podcast is making, is they are projecting their personal consumption habits and preferences onto viewers and listeners.
1,000%, yeah.
It happens all the time. You just think, I'm not even that active on YouTube, so why would I even post there?
Right.
Like, that doesn't even make sense. My people or my avatar or my lifer would never, that's not what I do, so it's not what they do.
Right,
and
that is
a major myth that's holding
that's
people
great.
Back.
I love that.
Because there's a whole different world of your lifer that lives on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they don't, you want to reach people where they are. And then also, you're not trying to disrupt them and get them to move. Like, they like their neighborhood. They like their community. They want you. They're like, cool, you opened up. They don't want to drive across town to eat at the restaurant that's one city over. They want to go to the local spot. So
I think what's encouraging about this conversation is, there's going to be entrepreneurs out there who are like, this is just so much more work. But it doesn't have to be. Like, it literally can be as simple as your show art and upload the file, like literally, like you said. I mean, I think that's the takeaway for me. And not everyone has to do like a full-blown production. They're in a studio, multiple camera angles, all getting the high-quality guests, all those things. So just start where you are.
Yes.
Don't overwhelm yourself. You and I talk about burnout all the time. I don't want you guys to burn out. And invest in someone who can help you figure out how to do this. Like the amount of time that people like us spend trying to figure this out when someone's already done it for you. I mean, that's why I go to you, and I would love for anyone who's interested in learning more about like how to master YouTube, how to grow your business using YouTube, is to join one of your free live challenges, right?
Yes. Yeah. We have a training that will help people figure all this stuff out.
Because I was just reading some of the stats from people who went through your last one. One of the gals said their account had a 13x improvement just from doing a few days of your challenge. So I'm excited about that. 168% growth in just a few days of doing the challenge. You guys can join for free by going to shalene.com/think, as in think media, shalene.com/think. Sean, thank you so much for being here on Build Your Tribe. Thanks for pouring into me and this platform. Obviously, it's a podcast platform. We video recorded this. This could very well be our first Build Your Tribe video podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it's an honor. And thank you so much for having me. Super grateful and excited for this opportunity. This is a time to really move, because this is, it might feel like you're late to the game. The game is just getting started. It's just kind of, the game just switched up. And so yeah. I'm excited for people to lean in.
And so I'm going to beg you to subscribe and smash the like button and leave a comment and all the things that they say you're supposed to do on YouTube, because it's my goal to be brief, to be bright, to make it fun, and then be done. We're not done. We're just getting started. We'll see you soon.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.